welcome to Great Loop Radio, brought to you by America's Great Loop Cruisers Association. We're dedicated to sharing Great Loop information and inspiration with those actively cruising, planning for, or dreaming about a Great Loop adventure. This is Kim Russo, the director of AGLCA. My guest today is Ed Tillett, who is the editor-in-chief of Waterway Guide. I've asked Ed to join me today to talk about Cuba and cruising Cuba, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about why he's the perfect person to do this. Ed is an award-winning multimedia producer, videographer, and writer. He's also a former radio and television news anchor and instructional designer, and he has a lifelong enthusiasm for learning, and that enables him to engage in a lot of corporate projects. Recently, he collaborated with Dr. Mike Davison at the University of Richmond, and the culmination of that was the production of a five-part radio series and a one-hour video documentary titled Cuba, Rhythm in Motion. So obviously, he's got a lot of experience in Cuba. His work in Cuba has included research at the University of Miami and the Florida International University. He has guest lectured on film and video production and development of scripts for live performances at University of Richmond's annual Cuba Spectaculars. And Ed's photos, design, and documentation are an integral part of Waterway Guide's new Cuba-bound cruising guide. So that is why I've asked Ed to join us today. But before we jump into the topic, I do want to take a moment to recognize and thank our Admiral sponsors who support AGLCA at the highest level. They are Curtis Stokes & Associates, Dog River Marina, Passage Maker Trawler Fest, Skipper Bob Publications, United Yacht Sales of the Carolinas, and Waterway Guide Media. As always, we encourage all of our loopers and other listeners to support these businesses that support the Great Loop. And, of course, I did mention Waterway Guide Media, which is a great segue to Ed, who is their editor-in-chief. Ed, welcome. Thanks for joining me.
Thanks, Kim. Good to be aboard today. Thanks for having us on the podcast for this book. It's so timely and a great introduction. So I guess you can see where my passion for Cuba came from, eh?
Yes, very much so, which is great. So you can combine that passion with your passion for boating and introduce, as you said, a very timely cruising guide for Cuba. So let's kind of, if we could, start with how that guide came about, because it is a new book for Waterway Guide, correct?
It is new. Interestingly enough, when Jeff Jones, the publisher of Waterway Guide, started looking at this company several years ago and engaged me in a discussion on his potential purchase of it, Jeff knew of my travels to Cuba, had been to several premier events that I had conducted here in the city of Richmond in Virginia with the University of Richmond, and was aware of some of the work that I had done there. And just in passing, this was long before the current administration made any announcement that relations with Cuba were going to be at least an attempt to normalize relations and start working on that. Jeff said, you know, one of these days we're going to have to produce a guide to Cuba. And I said, you bet, you know, with all the time that I've been there and, of course, my boating background and experience. And interestingly enough, we hadn't been involved in the company maybe 6 or 7 months. And sure enough, relations started being discussed in the media and things started loosening up, et cetera. And I went to Jeff and I said, you know, maybe now's the time to talk about doing this guide. Well, another interesting point is that in our archives, we were not aware of this, we had three on the water cruising editors who had been to Cuba and had actually started writing scripts and creating a script for a book called Cuba Bound. And it was in the archives. And I opened it up, I found the script, and I got really excited. I said, we've got a foundation of a guide here. And that's how the book came about. We combined all of my travel in Cuba and all the information that I had developed and created over my really 15 years of travel there with the specific cruising information of the on-the-water cruising editors who had been there four times and had cruised. They had actually circumnavigated the island, even though this particular guide is just on the north coast, and had done all of these great anchorages and stops along the way. So we had a guide, a rough guide, and we turned it into a book, and that's how it came about.
Sounds like that just worked out perfectly. This is really the time of year we've got a lot of loopers who are kind of sitting in the Keys, wintering there, and I'm sure many of them at this point are considering Cuba. And we just had a Gold Looper reunion last week, and one of the pieces of feedback I got for next year is they would love to have a seminar about cruising Cuba. So it's obviously a very timely topic. But there, I think there's still a lot of confusion for Americans on whether or not they can freely boat to Cuba at this point. Can you address that?
I'll do my best. It's still murky. There's no question that, that because policies and regulations have not totally been turned over from all the years of the embargo and everything that's gone into that. Based on the information that we put in the book, the research that we've done, and the new information that comes out every single day, I would submit at this point that, yes, there is a way for Americans to travel to Cuba on their own vessels. The latest guidance and the regulations for travel to Cuba by Americans can be found at the Treasury.gov website, the Office of Foreign Assets Control. There is a Bureau of Industry and Security requirements about import-export of a vessel. A lot of information, a lot of misinformation, a lot of misunderstood information, even by our own government employees, whether it's Homeland Security, Coast Guard, Office of Foreign Assets Control has a pretty good handle on the regulations. But I would submit that if you are determined to take your vessel to Cuba, you can find a way today, a lot easier than it was even a year ago or 2 years ago. Things are lightening up, if you will, every single day. And from the research that we've done and the folks who are going, I would say, yes, put it on your agenda and figure out the regulations, figure out a way to go, and do it. What you find when you get there, let's talk about that. You can ask that question in a moment, but your question really was, can Americans go? And we maintain that Americans can go under the current regulations, and they're only going to continue to get looser and looser.
Okay. So talk about what kind of information there is available. So if there's a looper or another boater out there that wants to start planning their trip, where should they start? What kind of information should they be gathering, and what can they gather?
I think the first of all, there's a tremendous amount of information in our guide on page 11, which no one has at this point because we just got them in and we're just starting to sell them. By the way, Blue Water Charts and Books has a selection. If someone is down there close by and wants to buy one from John Mann and his team, they ordered, I don't know, 15 or 20 they have in stock. And ours, we just updated the book and printed another round, which will be here in another 4 or 5 days. But on page 11, there is a panel that says latest guidance and regulations for travel to Cuba by Americans. Start with the Treasury.gov website and just Google, can American boats go to Cuba? And if you just search that term, can American vessels go to Cuba, and start your own research, you're going to get directed to a Treasury.gov. Under Treasury is Homeland Security, Office of Foreign Assets Control, et cetera. Then the Office of Foreign Assets Control, OFAC, O-F-A-C, Office of Foreign Assets Control has regulations. And there's specific guidance on those websites. As of the 25th of November, in the frequently asked questions, question number 24 is, may an individual authorized traveler use his or her private? And the answer is yes, and you have to use specific forms and regulations. Then there's another link in November that came out under the Treasury.gov Resource Center, and it's about sanctions against Cuba. It's really easy to find if you just go online and look under Treasury, look under the Office of Foreign Asset Control, you'll find the guidance there. Another question that some folks ask is, can my boat get insured going to Cuba? Well, we now have seen some companies. I had a card around here somewhere with me the other day, and I may be able to find it. There's a company that's offering insurance to American vessels going to Cuba. From all indications, they're reinsuring that through Lloyd's of London. Your insurance company, Progressive, Nationwide, whoever you may have it with, probably won't, but you can get insurance to go. So there's a lot of information out there. I would submit, go find it, start jumping through the hoops. If you're intent on going to Cuba in a motor vessel or a sailing vessel, you should, but there's some other details you need to know about, and we can talk about those next.
Sure. Let's go ahead and jump right into those other details.
Okay. So the first thing you should know when you get ready to go to Cuba is that there's only 4 ports of entry on the north coast. You can't just pull in anywhere. So if I were a vessel leaving the United States, I would leave from Marathon or Key West, and I would either go to Varadero, that's V as in Victor, A-R-A-D-E-R-O, Varadero, or Havana. But you're not going to go actually into Havana. You're going to go into Marina Hemingway, which is a little west, about 8 or 9 miles west of Havana Harbor proper. There's another port of entry way over on the east side, which is called Puerto de Vita. And if you're coming in from the Bahamas, from the Ragged Islands, that's where you would go into Puerto de Vita. Once you're at Puerto de Vita, you would start your trek west toward Varadero or Havana, and it's quite a long haul from that direction. So I would think that most boaters would leave the United States. And we kind of wrote the book with that in mind, that Americans are going to leave from Key West or from Dry Tortugas or Marathon and go across the Straits of Florida into Havana. The fourth port of entry is way over on the west side, and that's Cabo San Antonio. And most people won't go there. That's kind of a jumping off point. So Varadero or Havana is the recommendation for departure from the U.S. It's really the only place you have to clear in. You have to clear in customs there. And there are great marinas at both of them. Marina Hemingway outside of Havana. Keep in mind that Cuba is a poor country. Hadn't kept pace. You can get electrical, you can get water, you can get a good place to tie up. Navigation aids are in pretty good shape throughout the country. Cruising editors, we cover that in detail in the book. But if you go into Varadero, that's a brand new marina, big marina, lots of boats there, lots of space. And if you're an American and have never heard of Varadero, it's simply because it was built as a tourist, really just a tourist resort and tourist destination, and it's mostly Canadians and Europeans who go there. Americans all think of Havana when we think of Cuba, but Varadero is quite a place to put your boat. It's safe, harbor, good charts, good navigation, good to get in there, and facilities are in pretty good shape. So those are the ports of entry. You have to go to one of those four ports of entry. Pretty standard procedure, but you start your clearing in process, and we cover that in detail in the book as soon as you arrive. Typical international clearing in. Quarantine flag, wait for customs to come out to your boat, doing inspections, etc.
So, Ed, there's really nothing unusual about clearing customs there? Is it more difficult than clearing in another country?
No, it's not more difficult. We believe the Cubans are a little more thorough and a little more formal and organized, quite frankly. In my years of travel to Cuba, I have found that the Cuban people are, again, formal, very nice. When I say nice, they're easy to get along with. They're deferential. It's all business. I mean, it's real. Don't go expecting a Rastafarian to come aboard the boat and just kind of walk around and hand off your paper and say no problem, man, go on ahead. It's okay. No, they're very specific. The physicians, aduana customs comes on board. It's a very formal process, and they take it seriously, and they take their job seriously. So but it's not a difficult process, and you are not ever going to be asked for a tip. There's no money under the table. Don't even insult anyone there with that notion. And do not take illicit substances. If you take weapons and firearms, please be advised that you should report them. They will either lock them up, take them off the vessel. Cuba is an incredibly safe country, and the people there take a great deal of pride in the formality of the process. So it's no different than any other country, and there's no shenanigans. It's straight ahead. And all I can tell you is have your act together, have your paperwork in order, don't try anything illegal. If you do, it will be painful because they will send your vessel, and they will not, you're not going to go to jail, but it's just, you just don't want to go there. Just do the right thing.
Right.
How's that? You're representing
right.
America.
Do it by the book.
Right.
Exactly. Ed, let's take a quick break here. I'm going to play a message from one of our sponsors. When we come back, let's jump into what it's really like in Cuba. What will it be like once we arrive there? What are the cruising waters like? What are the sights? Things like that. Sound okay?
Look forward to it. Thank you.
All right. Standing be back in a moment.
Curtis Stokes & Associates is a yacht brokerage company that specializes in great loop capable boats. Curtis Stokes is a supporter of AGLCA at the Admiral level. If you're looking to buy or sell a Great Loop veteran from a trusted and knowledgeable broker, visit the company on the web at curtisstokes.net. Email curtisstokes@curtisstokes.net or call 954-684-0218.
We're back with Ed Tillett, who is the editor-in-chief of Waterway Guides. Ed is sharing with us some details about cruising Cuba and is a significant contributor to Waterway Guides' new book, Cuba Bound. So, Ed, we talked a little bit about clearing customs. Let's jump into once that process is finished and we are somewhat free, if you will, to explore Cuba. Talk about the cruising grounds there. I've heard they're completely spectacular waters to cruise.
They really are. And I would submit that in our guide, and again, the name of our guide, by the way, really specifically, if you're looking it up, is called Cuba Bound. And the subtitle is The North Coast, Ports of Entry and Anchorages. So recognizing that there are only four ports of entry on the North Coast, recognizing that most Americans are going to enter Cuba from the North Coast, along the North Coast somewhere, and recognizing that every American who may go, or even European who may come out of Key West or Florida or out of the Bahamas, is going to have a different style. They're going to have a different objective. Some may want to spend 3 months cruising along the North Coast, 2 months, a month, and then come back or head on to wherever they're going, or they may want to spend 6 or 8 days. So your experience cruising the North Coast or any of the coasts really depends on how much time you have. Your question was, what kind of experience might you have if you went into Cuba? I would submit that if you came in from Bahamas, the Ragged Islands, dropped into Puerto de Vida, it's going to be pretty rural, and you would have to then cruise a good distance, a couple of hundred miles, to go west toward Varadero. So along that route is where you would get to tuck in, do your anchorages, do your snorkeling, do your diving, whatever it may be. There aren't a lot of places to go. In fact, as in our book, we make it very clear that from the time you leave Puerto de Vida on the east end of Cuba and start heading west toward Varadero, you better have enough fuel on board to do the trip because there just aren't any places to duck in. And secondarily, be advised that you just don't pull your boat into an anchorage someplace, jump on the dinghy and go ashore and start walking about. You have to the Guarda Frontera or with officialdom at every stop, and you're not allowed to simply just get off the boat and walk around. Will that change in the future? I think it will, but this is not the Bahamas. All right, let's say that you, so to answer your question, is it a wonderful cruising ground? Yes. Isolated, beautiful water, good fishing. When you do encounter people who may be fishing or on other vessels, as old and as decrepit as they are, they're wonderful folks. They will help you out. They'll sell you lobsters. They'll sell you fish. They'll engage. But you're pretty much on your own. We actually recommend in our book that if you're going to do any stretch of coastline at all, to take a buddy boat with you, because it just simply are no services or nowhere to go. So if you want real cruising, where you're alone, where you're not dealing with a lot of traffic or a lot of other boaters, Cuba is the place for you, and the landscape is absolutely wonderful. Now, to your point, you asked the question about what happens about going ashore. So let's say that Kim and I, we were to jump on the boat, we were to take off from Marathon or Key West, and we land at Havana. We can tie up that boat in Marina Hemingway, lock it, get off, get in a car, rent a car with a couple of friends, take a taxi into Havana, which is only 8 or 9 miles for $10 or $12, have a great day in Havana, or rent a car and start driving across the country and then really immerse into the culture. And in our recommendation in the book is that's the way to see Cuba. If you're a pure cruiser and you want to go along the coast and anchor behind the reefs and the different places, you've got all that out in front of you from Havana west, from Puerto de Vida west, no anchorages between Varadero and Havana, which is only about 90 miles. That's a one quick trip. No place to go there. But once you're in Havana, you can go west and have a wonderful cruising time. From Puerto de Vida, you also can go west. Why do we keep saying west? Because the countercurrent around Cuba pretty much dictates that you want to go from east to west. But once you're ashore, it's a great place to be, and we can really talk about that next if you want.
Yeah, I think that would be great, because I think most of us kind of envision, cities kind of stuck in the 1950s when we picture Cuba with cars from that era. What's it really like? You've been there many times.
I tell friends, and I guess it's a term from some generation, but Havana in Cuba is just a great hang. Does that mean anything? It's just a great hang. Well, I have driven across the country twice, from one end to the other, from Havana down to Santiago de Cuba, once in a vehicle and another time in a bus with a bunch of musicians. Keep in mind that a lot of my work was around the music department at the University of Richmond. And wherever we stopped, any place that may have been hotels, small tourist resorts tucked into the mountains, it's just, whether you're in the interior or in the hustle and bustle of Havana, it's just a great place to be. Havana is obviously the capital and the hustle and bustle of the cultural center of Cuba for that side of Cuba. If you go to Santiago de Cuba, and we do recommend that you go there at some point, it's a whole different feel, more Caribbean in nature. But I can tell you that it's safe. Music is everywhere. There are more visitors coming today than ever before. Whether you're in the interior, which is a lot of ox carts and bicycles, interior simply because folks can't afford, mechanized and motorized vehicles. But Havana itself, culturally, it's an incredible place to be. Restaurants, don't go for the food yet. It's getting better, as we say in the book. But Havana is just a great place. There are plenty of places to walk and visit, and it's a World Heritage Site. I can't say enough about it. It's just a great place to sit and enjoy life and watch the locals go by. It's just a wonderful place to be.
What are some of your favorite spots in Havana, Ed, whether it's, be it a restaurant or a place to hang? Where do you go when you're in Havana?
When I'm in Havana, first of all, I love Old Havana. So go to San Francisco Square. That's Old Havana. It's been restored. It's down by the ship docks. It's along the harbor of Havana. And throughout the side streets, there are some wonderful restaurants there. There's a, wish I could remember the name of it, but they do flamenco on a pretty regular basis, and we went there an awful lot. Plenty of pubs and restaurants to stick your head in the door if you're in the afternoon or evening. Some of the other favorite places is we stay at the Hotel Ambos Mundos, which was Hemingway's favorite hotel. There is the Hotel Raquel, Hotel Nacional. You can go up to the Hotel Nacional, walk up to the back, walk around the back, and the bartender's out on the lawn, and you can sit in the great overstuffed chairs on the lawn of the Hotel Nacional overlooking the Caribbean and the Malecón and have a mojito and a cigar and listen to the local group serenade you. They will eventually ask you to buy their CD. Hotel Florida is a great place to go. We also like Chinatown. We spend some time over there. It's a small area, but Chinatown nonetheless. All of the squares in town, there's usually some place to just sit and enjoy the locals, walking by, engaged in discussion, take a tour of the Prada, walk down the Prada, and sit on the benches, go to the Malecón. Someone will walk up and start serenading you with music. There's a wonderful little bar right on the Malecón where you can sit and have a beer and overlook the harbor. The main square where the governor's palace was, there's a big book fair and flea market just about every day that's set up there. You can find all sorts of wonderful trinkets and take a cab ride with one of the old cars around the town. Revolutionary Square, it just goes forever. There's so many great places to just walk and wander and look around. And then Santiago is another story. We can talk about that later. But that's basically it. And I will say this. I don't mean to get too long-winded here, but keep this in mind. If you want to know something about some place, go ask someone on the street. They are so willing to take you there and show you. Of course, they're going to want some money. Get it straight up front. I've got five kooks here, the Cuban convertible peso, which is about $5 U.S. Can you take me on a tour and show me Old Town, Old Havana, or take me on a tour and show me the Malecón or whatever? And folks are just more than willing to do that. They're all on a hustle, and they do it with elan and a smile, and it's just I've never felt unsafe in that country.
It sounds absolutely delightful. It sounds like there's plenty to see and do that you could stay for quite some time. Are there any restrictions that you're aware of at this point on how long Americans can stay ashore in Cuba?
Oh, gosh, I think we covered that in the book. Is it 30 days? Yeah, I think it's standard 30 days, and you have to get your visa renewed after 30 days. That's right. Yeah, it's 30, and we cover that in the book, and it's an easy renew to get it. But don't lose it while you're there. It's a pain to – I've never done that, but I know someone who has. We used to have a special interest section of the Swiss embassy is where you would go for passports and those kinds of things, but the American embassy has reopened. So 30 days, and you can see and do a lot in 30 days. And I would submit to you, if you're there and you're someplace, negotiate. Cubans are willing to negotiate like any other place. The prices posted aren't as well, in the restaurant the prices posted are as they are. But if you're on the street trying to figure out where to go or what to do, and you can't negotiate on rental cars either. That's a government-held entity as well. And the Cuban tourist industry is growing quickly as well, so there's some wonderful sites for that. But 30 days is the length of time to answer your question.
Okay. I know that the first printing of the Cuba-bound book is sold out, but the next one is due very shortly. How can people obtain a copy once it's released, or are you taking pre-orders for the second release?
We don't really need a pre-order. I just got the notice this morning. They're shipping in as of today, so they'll be here in a couple of days. Either go to waterwayguide.com and look at our ship store, and the Cuba-bound guide is listed there, or Blue Water Charts and Books. John Mann got a nice shipment in early on there. I keep using his name. He is a friend of ours and is very very complimentary of this guide. So Blue Water Charts and Books has copies. So those are the two locations right now, and eventually I guess it'll pop up on Amazon and other places as we start distributing them. But waterwayguide.com, ship store, is the best place to start right now.
Okay, and I'm also pleased to announce that Ed will be joining us at our spring rendezvous to give a seminar on cruising Cuba. So if you're interested in more information, that would also be another great place to come and find out more. And I'm fairly certain that you'll also have the guide available there as well, because we usually have all of the Waterway Guide publications at our rendezvous. And the date for that is May 2nd through 5th. More information on that is available at our website, which is greatloop.org. Ed, thank you so much for joining me and sharing this information. It's really, I think, as we've said a few times, a really timely topic and lots of interest in it right now. So we appreciate you putting out the guide and also for joining us to tell us more about it.
It was my pleasure. Anyone can email me or us at Waterway Guide if you have any specific questions. We'll do our best to try to get you directed to the answers. Thanks, Kim.
Perfect. Thanks, Ed, and thanks to all of our listeners. We'll be back next week with another episode of Great Loop Radio.